Good morning. Oh, I can't hear very well. Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship all of those who are here and those who are watching online as well. If you get the guest registers, come around. Steve's a little late running around over here. The guy in the red shirt doesn't know what he's doing. But if you get those and you please sign so we can have some information about who you are and some contact information for that. Lots of announcements there in the middle of the bulletin. Some things that are going on about strengthening of our future foundation together. Help needed for a piece of music. Buildings and ground, there's an envelope, but there'll be some details about that later. We need some volunteers if you're willing to help for the garden walk as well. And the Washington Summer Program is there. Kyle, did you want to say something? You move faster than I do, so you can just... And I'm not going over it. I'm not going to get your mic. You'll need to get that.
That's fine. I can get it. I got to pick up pace. It's still coming from the back, so... Okay, can we hear me? Okay, perfect. Thanks, Robert. Okay, so the other announcement you'll see in here is a little green slip of paper. This is a reservation form. Pastor Marty is actually going to be hitting this year 40 years since his ordination, so 40 years of ministry. So we're going to take a little moment to celebrate that, celebrate this moment or momentous occasion for Pastor Marty. So the celebration will happen on Sunday, June 19th. That is Father's Day. 16th. Sorry, I'm getting my days mixed up. 16th, which will be Father's Day. We're going to do a normal service, have a little ceremony during the service, and then afterwards we'll have a little light luncheon down in Fellowship Hall. So we're just kind of gathering RSVPs to see how many we are expecting for lunch. If you would like to attend, just please fill out this form, place it in the offering plate, and we'll get you written down for it. So if you have any questions, you can ask me. Carol Thompson's helping out with it as well. Either one of us will be happy to answer those for you. So thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. The other big insert in there is for today, at the end of the service, we'll be taking time to scroll the names that are on this sheet. That's for you to be able to take home so you can remember who they are as we take time to remember those people who have died in service to our country and who have served and died. So, are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Will all who are able please stand and join me responsively in the call to worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
The whole earth is full of the glory of God.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who was, who is, and who is to come.
Through Christ we have access in one spirit to the Father of us all.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Let us praise the name of the Lord in song. Please be seated. I think I did well. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Loving and gracious God, we are blessed by the beauty of your creating activity in the world and people around us. We thank you for making this world an earthly home for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to show the fullness of your mercy and love. Thank you for the presence of the Spirit to support and guide us. As stewards of your creation, we want to serve others in ways that make a positive and lasting difference. Mobilize us for meaningful ministry and prayerful use of our time and money and resources that your will may be done. How do we name you, God? What words can we use to describe who you are and what you do? How do we define our relationship with you and what this means to our relationships with one another? We ask these questions in the awareness that our human language is limited and inadequate. But still we come to you in prayer because we want to give voice to our hopes and needs, as well as to our praise and thanksgiving, O God. You reveal yourself to us in a multitude of ways, and on this Trinity Sunday, we celebrate you as Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. In the assurance of your presence, with us, may we live each day with a joyful willingness to convey your blessing by all that we say and think and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news. It is by God's grace alone that we are saved from the guilt and sin of human life. For in great love and mercy, God gave Jesus to the world in order that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. We are forgiven and spiritually born for eternity. Praise be to God. Dearly beloved, believe the good news.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from the law of the Old Testament, Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. Our second reading is from the letters of Paul, Romans 8, 1 through 9 and 12 through 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we, in fact, suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Blessed be the hearing, the understanding, and the reading of this his holy word.
Christ is Lord of heaven.
My apologies for the sound. I got it. I can still move. Not very fast, but I move. And you direct backwards. You don't put that in there, hold your music. So while I'm fussing around here, I need to thank Amy and Kendra for being up here, our musicians today, helping us out with our music today, and especially when we're doing the memorial remembrance later in the service. And I want to thank my friend and colleague, Reverend Andrew Bierken, for being here last week as well. Should have known that during announcements, but I was worried more about the pain in my knees. So we're turning to the gospel lesson. It's the Gospel of John, and it's the third chapter, the first 17 verses. And there are going to be phrases in here that are familiar, that we hear. We don't always read the whole text. Usually we only read the ones we want to hear. So listen to these. This is when the story of Nicodemus, when he comes to see Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and he says to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with that person." And Jesus answers him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus says to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. And what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus says to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and that you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all need something to stand on. We've all been, I'm thinking, I live in the west side of town, right outside of Cheviot, and I keep thinking we have the Harvest Home Parade. They got another one coming up here for Memorial Day. And I used to live in an apartment where my neighbor could overlook Harrison Avenue and we could watch the parade. So we didn't have to do that. We had a nice view. But invariably there's someone standing on a box or a chair, or they're lifting a child up on their shoulders so they can see. In my 40 years of ministry, I've done a lot of weddings in different places, but there's a few that stand out, but I remember this one. It was a big wedding, lots of people. And this was before cell phones, but everybody brought their own cameras. And they were standing up here trying to get photographs. And there was a big fence. There were people literally standing on the pews to take pictures over the heads of the people behind them. They had to stand on something because they were being blocked. I think we all think somehow we have to stand on something to get over the head and shoulders of other people. We sometimes think we need to do that. Sometimes I think we stand on our lineage of our history, and that's real big now with genealogy, and on the daughter or son of so-and-so, somehow that's supposed to make you better than somebody else. I have some people that come up to me and they talk about their abilities. I'm good at this, or I'm good at that. And of course, they also note that you're not as good as me. You know, they do that as well. There are some of us who stand on our finances or our money. You know, I'm okay because my father owns this or that, and I'm head of shoulders over others because I have more. Some of us stand on tradition. I sent Vicki the other day, she's writing some of the liturgy for that celebration service that's going to happen on Father's Day. And I sent her a list of places I've worked and the training I've had. And I looked at that list and I thought, my God, all the churches I've been in and every one of you worry about how we do church. It's tradition. And yet we don't want to change anything because that's the way we've always done it. But it's important for some reason. What do we stand on, my friends? What do we stand on to make us feel a little better than somebody else? To help us feel okay about who we are. Sometimes we stand on our works. I'm okay because I do this or I do that. Because I do that, I'm okay. There are churches and denominations who stand on what you do. You know, I'm going to get to heaven because I do this or that, and I'm going to go down this tick list and do that. And I shared with you that I went to a Baptist college for my education degree. And yet, when I would go to the churches, there's no gambling, no dancing, no makeup, no alcohol. It was always no, no, no. I had a neighbor when I was living in my apartment. I don't know if he was a Latter-day Saints or Jehovah's Witness, but he had to go to seven neighbors every week or he wasn't going to get in heaven. Abraham, what did Abraham stand on? He stood his good works. He followed where God led. He did God's will. He began the long line of the faithful, of the Jewish faithful that would eventually end in Jesus. You know, within the lineage things we don't always read, but it says that. And then Paul says, well, no, not necessarily so. Abraham believed God. And so it says he was reckoned to him was righteousness because he believed. And so Abraham was okay eternally, right with God forever because of his faith. What he believed. And so he stood on the power and the promise of God. There's an old, I call it a gospel hymn or Sunday school hymn. We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it today, Standing on the Promises. It's one of those that in the church I grew up in, the hymnal we had at the time, that this hymn wasn't in there. That was like more a Sunday school hymn or a youth group hymn. But we all know this chorus, Standing on the Promises of God. And we sing that. It's got a nice lilt to it. And you'll probably all know it, and you'll all sing it real loud when we get there. But the verses, if you look at the verses, they have strength. They have certainty. They have freedom, all in the promises of God. And those are the feelings I think Paul has when he talks in letters, that we can sing those feelings, we can do it joyfully because we are who we are because of our faith. So the question still remains, as a corporate body and as individuals, what do we stand on? What do we rely on for life, for our eternity? You know, where does our head sort of go when we think about that? What does relying on the promises of God get us? Some people will ask me. I'm named after Martin Luther. And his theme was that God doesn't operate a treasury of grace into which we have to make investment. Martin Luther didn't believe that. That the treasure of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a gift. You don't earn it. It's a gift. And the gospel's always a gift. And sometimes we forget. And we have to be able to receive it And all you need to do is repent and trust the promises of God. Trust. In today's world and in the gospel lesson today, sometimes I have going to the Baptist college, this born-again phrase keeps coming up. And Martin Luther believed that really you had to be born every day. It wasn't a one-time experience. It's something that you need to look at every day. So every day when you, you know, at the end of the day, you look and say, well, did I sin or did I lapse? You know, what did I do? Did I do something that I didn't feel good about? And then can you then free yourself and repent is the term we use in the church so that you can receive God's grace. I think there's three things that we need to remember when we think we are freed. We're freed from a lot of things if we believe on the promises of God. And I don't know if I learned this. It hasn't been a long time ago. You know, you do a lot of things. You got to live a lot of life sometimes. But we're freed from having to prove ourselves. Having to prove who we are. And it's okay if you're not the smartest or the quickest or the wealthiest or the biggest or the best athlete. But we're okay because God says, I'm okay. And God says, you're okay. And that's freeing if you really think about it. Because we always worry about it. I spent a long time in my career trying to think if I was better than my dad. You know, we do that. We try to equate ourselves with someone else. And when you understand that it's a gift, that's free. The second point is we're free to serve God to the best of our abilities with whatever you've got. So we don't all have the skill, you know. I've sat next to Laura. She can't carry a tune in a bucket. That's why she's not in the choir. Okay? We all have gifts. She has a different set of gifts. Okay? You don't want to sit up here on a stool and preach like I do. Talk about your faith and what you believe in. You're not comfortable with that. That's my job. I think so. We have these gifts and talents and abilities. And we do it, but we're able to do whatever it is we do by the promises of God. And it's grace. And D.S. Carnes, and he wrote a thing called The Extravagant Goodness of God. That's a description he uses. And he says we have to look at it this way, that good works are the fruit of faith and not because, or not the cause of salvation. We do good works not to get us into heaven. We do good works because we are already going to heaven. Do you understand that? You know? Sometimes I think, you know, we've grown up in a society and a social understanding that we got to keep doing good. Yet we have to do good things in response to what we've already been given. Norman Vincent Peale says in a book, You Can't Win. And I remember my first parish in Bromley, Kentucky. The pastor that had been there, he'd been like the interim, like I've been with you, in and out, in and out. And he was a Norman Vincent Peale fan. And so he gave me lots of information. But he, in this You Can Win book, it says, the gospel does not tell us to try any harder, but to believe harder. To believe. And we're not to struggle for God's power, but to accept the power of God. And that's freely offered to us. And sometimes I think we forget that. That it's really, really out there. And it's not achievement, it's a gift. And I think sometimes we realize it most when we're in that position where we don't think there's anything else we can do. And I talk at support group, the Alzheimer's support group, that until I could get a diagnosis and you can get medication figured out, balanced, there are those times that you are frustrated because there's nobody that can really help you. It's just you and your loved one and God. And And then you have to figure that out. And it's a gift. Three, we are free to face the future with a certainty, a calm certainty. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but what I do know is God's going to be there with me. And that's okay. And that's taken a while to be there. But I think we have to understand that God's going to be there no matter what happens or what choices we make or what things come in our way. And we've already been given that gift. And so we go forth in the promises of God. We go forth knowing that the presence is always with us. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in everyday stuff of life. We just do. And we forget about how this presence is with us all the time. Not just here in this space. That all the time, everywhere. And we're going to be okay. And we're going to be okay because God says so. God says that we're okay. And we can rely on the promises. And we stand on the promises of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we affirm our faith. We're going to use these words from a New Zealand prayer book. And then when we finish that, you're going to stand. You're going to stand. I'm going to sit. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises of God. So join with me in this affirmation of faith. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You are God, our Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and concerns to be shared with this community of faith this morning? Anybody behind me? Okay. If not, there's always a listing in the bulletin of all the folks that we're praying for. There's a prayer list, the homebound person of the week. You can send a card to birthdays and anniversaries. On this day, we are to remembering, as I said in announcements, remembering and honoring the U.S. military who have died in service in the U.S., the armed forces. We remember all those, the long list. You know, sometimes we forget what people have done so that we can be here and worship as we see fit. And so we're taking time today to do that. Prayers for the family of Judy Gadd, who died last Tuesday. So keep her and her family in prayer. Betty Webster, she's recovering from COVID, so we ask prayers as she goes through that process. Dave Stamm came up to me today. His brother-in-law, Harold Clark, died yesterday. And so we ask prayers for the Clark family as they grieve the loss of a loved one in their life as well. We continue to remember and pray for those things individually for us, for family, for friends, for our neighbors, for the situation in the world. All those things affect us every day. And so we continue to raise them, even if that's from our hearts. So as we prepare to come before God, let us center ourselves. I'm going to ask you to breathe in and breathe out. And breathe in, God. And breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Almighty and holy God, we have gathered together this day to worship. And not to ask for anything necessarily, but to look at what you have given, what we can be thankful for, family, friends, neighbors, people in the church, all those individuals who touch our lives. We have you, O God, as our parent figure, our father, if that's what we need to call you. We see Christ as our friend, as our brother. We see that Holy Spirit in this sense of the Trinity that holds us together to you and to Christ and to one another. When I think about the Trinity, how it is so unnecessary for us to ask, because you are here. We don't ask for the air, but we breathe it. We don't ask for the light, but we see it. We don't ask for the sun, but we live by its warmth, complain when it's too hot. There are gifts and graces that are accessible to us every day. And sometimes we're so busy and we miss them. But they're obvious if we pay attention. And somehow, oh God, maybe it's just the way we're created, that sometimes we go off in search of what we already have, but always something that's always present in our life, and yet we're continually looking for something else. So we pray this day that we may not be afraid of the obvious, and that we be able to deal with things every day, and that we live using the light and the air and the love, and that we don't continue seeking for something beyond, but seek what's here within. We ask that you be with those whose names and situations we have lifted aloud and silently this day. Let your presence be with each of them in their need, so that they may know and experience your love, your grace, your presence. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ. So we offer this prayer in his name, with the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he tells us that the church is built on foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. From this scripture, we are reminded that the church is how we live a Christian life, our thoughts, our words, our actions. The foundation of the church is our faith and how we share our faith with others. I'm going to share with you the lyrics of the chorus of a song that is titled, The Church. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. As I reflected on a mission message for this morning, a message about the Building and Grounds campaign that Kyle and Dave spoke about these past 2 weeks, I thought of the history of our church. Many generations ago, hardworking and determined German immigrants settled in Newport. They settled in homes and established jobs and built families and a community, and most importantly, built our church. Years later, when the church was destroyed by a fire, the congregation of our church did not spread away like fall leaves in the wind. They came together and they rebuilt the church. And again, years later, when the membership was growing and plentiful, the congregation developed a plan for a future. They built new buildings, added fellowship and Christian education for all ages. So we know, generation after generation after generation, we are a people with Christ as our cornerstone. If we are short-sighted, we see this history as a story of the church as a building, but it's not. It's the history of a community of people of faith, the place that feels like home, the people I can depend on, the faith that's in my bones. As you consider and pray about how to be generous in this campaign, a campaign that is all about a building and the church's financial stability, we encourage you to think beyond that and to consider the community of faith. Each of us here this morning has a story. Each one of us has a story about St. John's in our lives, a story about baptism, confirmation, worship, music, fellowship, weddings, funerals, community service, Sunday school, mission, Bible studies, work, communities, prayer, and friendship. A church with a congregation that is your foundation, your faith that you share with one another. You are here because this is the place that feels like home. The people around you are those you can depend on. We share with one another and with the generations before us in a faith which Christ is our cornerstone. Thank you, truly, each one of you, for all you do, for all you already give, for whatever you can give in this campaign. For you are one of our family, and together we are a church. I remind you that as you make your donations, to mark your checks or your envelopes, or to use the envelope that was provided this morning. And I leave you with this thought. May we all join in strengthening our foundation together.
The God who brought Israel out of Egypt still calls nations and peoples out of bondage. This is the work of the church to which we are committed. Wherever truth and freedom are suppressed, we are called to proclaim God's will for self-giving love and genuine peace. Our offerings help to make this possible. Our offering will now be taken.
Grass and pure life stones shelter those.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. We come before you, God, with open hearts and open hands, ready to receive and ready to give. Aware of our blessings, we seek to be a blessing to others through words and actions that express care and compassion. Through this offering, may we and others experience the generous love of our Creator, the amazing grace of our Savior, and the intimate and abiding friendship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask the congregation to be seated. Go ahead. Jisoo, I need you to come up here with me. Come here. You okay? It's all right. It's all right. Michael, go ahead. Let me get on the other side. No. Move it. Needs a microphone. Underneath, on the bottom. Press it. There you go.
There we go. Are we on? Yeah.
All yes, right. We're on.
This is a very sad day for me and for the church, too. Also, Jesus is going to be going back home. She's decided she wants to, her family wants to, misses her, and she wants to go back to Korea. So she's going to be leaving us this week. And we're very sad about that, but we're actually happy that she's going to continue with her future. She can tell you a little bit about what she's going to do. She has a new job in Japan teaching. And Jisoo not only was a blessing to our choir, she did everything we asked her to do, never said no. Children's sermons, liturgists, whatever, candle lighters, she did anything that we asked her. And so she's been a real blessing to our church. And so I want to thank her for all, how long have you been here, 7 years?
Yeah.
7 years she's been with us. So I want to thank her very much for all she did for St. John's. And do you want to say a few words?
Yes. So if you're wondering why my family is in Korea, but I'm going to Japan, there was basically no openings in Korea, so I had to pick closest country, which is Japan. I also lived there for my secondary education, so it was almost like my second home. So I'm going back to Japan. And I am excited for my new journey, but I am also very sad that I will be leaving this community. And I just wanted to thank everyone for all the support and the love that you have given us. I mean, you kind of raised me. I came here when I was 18, not knowing anything of the world as a college student. And for, with St. John's, I graduated college. I went to go get my master's. I started working at Highlands, and it's all with St. John's that I did this with. So thank you for being my parents in the States, and that you will always have a place in my heart, and I always hold on to your memories and the love and the support you have given me. So I'm going to stop before I start crying. So thank you.
And she stepped in today because Dobin's traveling with his parents, and so she agreed to do that. So that was her gift to us today. And I told her in a messenger, that's how we communicate on Facebook, that we were going to miss her, you know. And as she stated and what Michael said, if you remember when I was doing the 3-month leave of absence thing when Barry, after Cheryl died, she and Isabel asked me to baptize them. Those are the special things that pastors we do. And so she allowed me to do that for her, and I greatly appreciate that. But she's on another chapter and another journey, and we're grateful for her to be here. And so I want to offer a prayer. Okay. Almighty God, as we are sad for the leaving, we are grateful for the relationship. and grateful for the love that was shared, and the care that was shared, the music that was shared with Jesus. We ask you bless her on her journey, allow her to continue to know your presence and to be present, and whenever she can, come back to see us. We would be grateful to see her. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Michael, you got something?
We have a little gift for you to take with you and remember us by. And hope you'll
remember us. We won't miss you,
that's for sure.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. You can applaud if you want. I'm going to make you stand. We're going to sing the next hymn as we move into the memorial part of our service, number 74, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. You may be seated. Lord of life, we enter into this season of Memorial Day surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. We acknowledge, first of all, the men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray for their safe return.
We also acknowledge that there are women and men who will not return. As we grieve their passing in the daily news, we pause now to honor their service and their sacrifice. We also pause this hour to give thanks for all the men and women who have served in the nation's armed services. Those who have not served cannot fully imagine the experience of war, but we do know the war's aftermath and the toil that it can take upon the human heart. This weekend, we remember and acknowledge loss, and so we remember those whom we have loved and lost. We hold their names and their faces in our heart. We recall the gifts they gave us through the strength of their being, the depth of their love, the courage of their dying, and the fullness of their living. In the holy quiet of this hour, their names surround us, and they live with us in blessed memory. Amen.
As those names were scrolling today, I thought about when I had opportunity to be to Washington, D.C. And walk the Vietnam Wall, which is my war. And the emotions that you feel just when you see the names. Sometimes you know them, sometimes you don't. But as we said in the liturgy, they are people, they are somebody's brother, father, son. They are important to somebody, and they're important to us. So hear these words. We are God's children, children of the living God. We have been led into freedom through Christ. God the Creator has written His name upon our hearts. And as we grow in God's likeness, we can make a difference. Destiny may find the world through our responses and our service. Go and serve the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.